Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Smoking Weed and Talking MMA. This is episode number 27. My name is Jared. I'm here with my friend Paul.
What's up, guys?
And we are, of course, coming to you from the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, also land of legal cannabis, which we are smoking on right now. On today's episode, we're going to be talking all about UFC Prague, the Bellator Dublin card. We're going to take a look at some announced fights this week, GSP's retirement, of course, our Fighters Who Smoke segment, and a quick look at UFC 235 rapidly approaching with John Jones versus Anthony Lionheart Smith. But to start the episode, like usual, let's get into our Weed of the Week. Smoke weed every day. Today's Weed of the Week is once again brought to you by Experience Premium Cannabis. Paul and I are enjoying some double mint THC tincture. This is 200 milligram tincture. It tastes just like the gum.
Double mint gum.
Yeah, it's pretty surprising. They do that with, this is made with MCT oil, solventless cannabis extract, and spearmint and peppermint essential oils. So it's really tasty. It's good for you. It's kind of a cool way to enhance the high. Mm-hmm. And we are smoking on some, what is this, some grape pie, yeah, today that you picked up. Now, this is pretty tasty. What did you think of that hit you just took?
I like it.
I like it, too. What is it? It's grape stomper crossed with cherry pie. Yeah.
It's a hybrid.
Hybrid indica. Although this one, they say, is a little bit energizing, which I haven't tried it yet, but I'm going to take a hit right now.
And, like, I was smoking a lot yesterday. Like, I smoked, like, a couple joints, and then I smoked a blunt with it, too.
Ooh.
And then it was, like, I never really was, like, glued to the couch.
Yeah.
I was just on Xbox.
I like hybrids like that that can bring you, like, the body effect of the indica,
yeah,
but still have enough of that sativa in there to kind of get, yep, rid of that couch lock, mm-hmm, where you just want to sit on your ass all day long. Well, so
I was sitting on my ass all day long. I just wasn't sleeping.
There you go. That is pretty tasty, man. That's pretty tasty. Kind of goes good with the little double mint flavor I got going in my mouth today, too. Well, so we got this big bong here. If you're watching on YouTube, you might have noticed. We've also got some joints rolled today. We got some pipes loaded with a mixture of this grape pie and some keef that we've been building up. So all kinds of good shit. You can learn more about Experience Premium Cannabis. If you're coming into Vegas, if you're into tinctures, this is definitely what we recommend. We've been using their products for a while. You can check them out at epclasvegas.com. All of their stuff is good. Check them out if you're here. You're firing up that joint. And let's take a look at the fights we had this past weekend, dude. All kinds of good ones. The UFC Prague card is pretty interesting because here in the USA, at least, it aired in the afternoon. Mostly morning, more than afternoon, even. What, the main card started at like 11 here in Vegas. Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty cool. It threw me off. I forgot about it, and I got up and went out and started my day and then realized that I'm missing fights. So
yeah. Nothing like blow your hair back, but it was solid fights. I had a few problems with it. I mean, if you follow me on Twitter, you'd see the problems I have with it. I'm fucking tired of this. Like, okay, like, I get it. Like, this is a European, like, a lot European loaded fighter, like, card.
Yes, definitely so heavy with European fighters.
So they're bringing in European announcers. Like, it was Dan Hardy. I can't remember the fucking guys.
I don't know who the other guy was, but I think I know what you're going to say.
The Octagon with.
Yeah.
But they were just being so fucking biased. Every time Americans were fighting Europeans or Russians or anyone like that, they're just being biased as fuck.
Absolutely. It was a little bit ridiculous. I think it was most noticeable in the John Dobson, Peter Yan fight.
It was terrible.
I mean, at one point they compared they said Yan's footwork was equal to that of Lomachenko in boxing.
Yeah, no fucking way.
Which is, that's a joke. I mean,
well, here's what it is, too. It's like they were being biased, too, because that's John Dobson.
You gotta laugh at that.
It was John Dobson's game that he was playing, though, because Peter Yan's a fighter who's going to walk everybody down. Just because he's walking somebody down doesn't mean he has great footwork. John Dobson's okay with being walked down, and he uses the cage to explode forward.
Yeah, exactly. He'll move backwards often in his fights. It wasn't that his will was being imposed on him by Yan.
It's a 30-27 decision, which is, like, ridiculous, considering he got knocked down in the second round. Like,
Yeah, how does you, how do you...
I mean, even if you're, like, in the group of people that's like, well, after he got knocked down, he started to win the round. Well, once that motherfucker gets knocked down, it's 10-9 in Dobson's favor as soon as that knockdown happens.
Right.
So, if he were to... There's really not many ways to win that round without also knocking Dobson down, and he did not. He took him down and ground and pounded him, yeah. So that should be a 9-9 round. 30-27 makes no fucking sense.
No, there's definitely some questionable judging in that. And really, I too found the fight calling really distracting.
Same thing, like, in the Liz Carmouche fight.
They
kept talking about that girl who was fighting for the first time in Czech Republic. That's great.
Awesome. I get it. She's the only hometown fighter on the card. But
she also looked like fucking shit.
Yes.
Like, and then she hits an illegal fucking move in the middle of a heel hook, and they should have stopped it. But if even they didn't stop it, they still should have ridden it down and took it a point. You can't fucking heel kick somebody in the forehead when you're getting heel hooked. That's against the rules. You can't heel kick someone in the head when they're down.
And the commentary team just breezed over it too. Like, it
they go, oh, that's illegal, but they didn't stop it.
Yeah, they just fight ending, like, yeah, they didn't really point out the severity of the illegalness there.
Everyone in the crowd was like, oh shit. Like, imagine if she would have knocked her out with that.
Liz Carmouche was handily winning that fight. I mean, the punch stats were ridiculous. But if you just listen to the commentary, it was all about her opponent.
Well, it was another one of those where it was like a kickboxer trying to fight a wrestler, and she just wrestled her the whole time.
Dude, Liz Carmouche is a little underrated, if you ask me.
She's a little boring, too.
She's a little boring, but she's so good at what she does. And I think she's going to have new life at 125, dude. She's so ripped. Oh, my God. Seriously, like, she looked mean as fuck.
That girl didn't seem like she was high, like, world class. And
she didn't.
Tough time with her.
She was long and rangy, though.
Yeah.
She was very long. Like, their height wasn't that far off, but that girl's arms and legs were ridiculously long. Yeah. Like,
that's true.
Really, really long.
Yeah. Well, long enough to fucking heel kick her in the forehead.
Right. But, well, do you want to start up with that main event? I mean, we saw Thiago Santos once again.
Blachowicz.
Versus Jan, knocked him silly. Another KO win.
That's 11 KO wins for Santos. He's one away from the record.
Since moving up from 185 to 205, this guy has looked like a beast.
Well, you know what it is, he really is filled out. Like, he didn't just move up to 205. Like, he moved up to 205, and now he probably walks around probably like 230 on a daily.
Right.
Because, like, he seems like he did it the right way. He didn't just move weight up. You know, same thing with Anthony Smith. He did it the same way, where, like, they made a career choice not just to move up to fill in, you know.
Right. They bulked up or quit dieting so much. One of the two.
Although it did start with with him moving up to fill in with Thiago Santos. He moved up.
Yeah, he did.
To 205 to fill in for a fight. But at the end of the day, he looked so good. He's like, fuck it. Let's do this, and then filled out his body.
Dude, it's a thing we've talked about on the show before. It's not 100% true with every fighter, but the vast majority of these guys who move up, this joint here, that grape, yeah, it's nice, huh? I was thinking the same thing. it's another example of these fighters who come up a weight class and just perform much better. Yeah. Like, again, it's not 100%.
Honestly, but the majority. It's a turnaround for him because he was good at middleweight, but he just couldn't
get it. No, it is for him. Yeah, I mean, not every fighter who just jumps up a weight class experiences success. Like, Donald Cerrone is an example that he started off okay, but then, you know, he fell a little bit.
Well, that's due to age, I think.
That could very well be, too. But the vast majority of the time, my point being, these guys who quit cutting so much weight and move up a weight class seem to be doing fucking a hell of a lot better, man. And I like it because it's safer for the sport, too, with getting rid of some of these cutting.
When you look
cutting.
At 205 now, too, we've got some young guns, dude.
Yeah, so Santos is calling that title shot. Yeah,
calling for the title shot. You got Rockhold moving up. You got Jimmy Crew, who won last 2 weeks ago. You got Johnny Walker. You got fucking...
fucking old Scotch himself. Yeah.
What's his name? Fucking Devin... not Devin. Fuck's his name. He fought a couple months back. He's a 205.
I seem to want to think Eric Anders, but that's not it.
And,
he's 185.
Who the fuck is this guy? I'm looking it up. Fuck all you guys.
You look it up. But we are seeing a bit of a resurgence with these young guns here in that division is what you're talking about at 205, which I don't think any of them can really fuck with Jones right now, but given enough time, somebody's going to emerge.
We talked about this before. I think it's going to come down to who's willing to just go in and fucking be willing to lose some rounds against Jones and not lose confidence. Dominic Reyes is
cool. Dominic Reyes, yeah, he's been...
I'm just looking at 205 right now. So let's just look at it this way. A lot of these guys like Shogun, Manoa, Latifi, they're getting older. And they were the young guns when Jones was in the middle of his reign. But then as Jones got in trouble and stuff, those were kind of the guys who were the gatekeepers at 205. And the brand kind of went down.
Yes.
But now we're talking at 205. Now you got guys like freaking Johnny Walker... Serkanov, whatever, how do you say that? I'm sorry if I fucked his name.
Mishka Serkanov, yeah, he's pretty legit too.
Corey Anderson, who's a little bit a part of that other guys, but he's starting to have a little bit of a resurgence.
He is coming about a bit.
Ozdemir just lost Anthony Smith, but he's still in the mix.
Yeah, he was just there. Anthony Smith.
And then, I mean, there's always that lingering question, is DC going to ever come back to 205 and fight Jones again? You know?
So you don't want that smoke.
205 is definitely in a renaissance for sure. Last night showed it. Well, yesterday, I guess.
Now, do you think someone like Santos should have another fight?
I said that like Brendan Schaub.
Yeah, you did. Do you think someone like Santos after last night, should he fight one of these other young contenders? Should he fight one of these older guys? Or should he wait for that title shot?
He's put together a hell of a win streak. What's that, 8 in a row for him?
Mm-hmm.
7 in a row?
Well, but some vicious knockouts along the way.
We're talking 11
now. Luke Rockhold, coming up from 185, former champ there, was calling him out basically on Twitter, talking shit.
Yeah.
You know, I said he looked really sloppy. Rockhold's a little, that's what he said.
I'd like to see what Rockhold looks like at 205.
So would I, because you want to talk about Rockhold's a very good technical fighter, but you want to talk about sloppy. The guy's sloppy with his chin. I'm sorry, it's fact. He keeps his chin up, and he backs up with his hands when he gets in trouble, and that's a dangerous thing to have when you're moving up a weight class.
I hate to be this way, but when you look at guys like friggin' Santos and Anthony Lionheart Smith, you really got to look back at it and think, why doesn't David Branch move 205?
Dude, I wish he would.
Like
David Branch is underrated.
David Branch has got wins over at Santos. And Anthony Smith.
And he's a pretty big dude, at least physically, like muscular-wise. He looks like he could...
And he gave Rockhold a run for his money, too. He almost finished Rockhold.
Oh, he was very close with Rockhold, yeah. And he might be a little... he might be one of these guys that experiences a resurgence. Yeah, because he might be a little depleted because he's so thick and muscular.
I don't know, man. But
he should do it.
My point is, 205's got some serious shit going on right now. Just because all the young guns at 185 took over and a lot of these guys are like, fuck that. You know, like Anthony Smith, fucking Santos, they're looking at 185 and they're like, dude, there's no chance I'm getting a title shot anytime soon there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're coming up at 205 and putting on these performances and everyone's just like, fuck, man. They're making themselves undeniable. This is what it is, you know. Like, really, after he beat Ozdemir, after he beat Shogun, after he beat fucking... Rashad, how could anybody deny Anthony Smith?
For real, people can talk shit that he can't beat Jones all they want to, but I think he's a live fighter. I don't think he's going to win, but he's a live fighter. He's not a pushover. He's not some fucking chump. That dude's earned his shit.
You want to see the mental fortitude of Anthony Smith? Go look up the pre-fight and fight against Hector Lombard, who came into that fight saying he didn't know who Anthony Smith was, and he went out there and did the Muhammad Ali to him and fucking... pieced him up and was asking him the whole time, what's my fucking name? And fucking, that's pretty savage.
That's savage right there. I like that shit.
Talking about all that shit about everyone's doubting me in this fight.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, man. Sometimes those people have that, like, that mental fortitude where it's just like, even if it's his downfall in the end, he's going to go out there and he's going to give Jones all he can give him.
You know
what I'm saying? There's not going to be any scared, like, fear, like, any respect.
He don't have shit to lose.
Yeah. Zero.
And, you know,
that makes that man a dangerous man, you know.
Now, I tell you what, Paul, if this was the John Jones before all the fucking trouble, the kind of John Jones that took Gustafson lightly in the first fight, I might say, Smith has a chance because Jones might overlook him.
We'll talk about this in a little bit. Actually. But let's circle
before back. We yeah let's such back. A wormhole like, at 205. Let's circle back just, to yeah,
it's impossible not to talk about Jones.
All right. So
I'm sorry.
Well, let's go with Thiago Santos then. Yeah. What does he title shot? Yay or nay? In your opinion,
I'd have to see if Rockhold gets a fight at 205. In the meantime, I think if. I'd like to see them fight just because I think Jones is at a point now that if 205ers want him to keep defending this belt, they're going to have to give him a reason to. You know what I'm saying? Because at any point, like he said before Cain lost, he's like, my move up to 265 is inevitable. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So if it is inevitable, these guys at 205 need a reason to keep him in this division. So, like, putting on great performances like Santos did and stuff, that is going to sell fights. So, the people that are going to sell the fights are what John Jones is going to go after. Because now you're talking about, yeah, he is a different John Jones. He's not that guy who was, you know, sitting back in the wings just, like, doing whatever the fuck he wanted and just fighting. Now he is more focused. He's got more spotlight on him. He's got more people in his camp that are just there to make sure he's not fucking up. You know? So, that changes and makes him evolve more than he did before. So I'd like to see someone like Rockhold or someone like Santos maybe fight each other first. Just to see exactly where they're at. Because Jones is not... Let's just say he goes out and demolishes Anthony Smith. He's going to move up to heavyweight and fight DC next. If Smith just gets bulldozed, he's going to move up to 265. But then... if Smith puts on a good fight against him, and then you got Santos and Rockhold, maybe they put on a great fight. Then that gives him two guys that you can look and you can make a highlight reel out of. That's why I like Santos too. Is like if he goes out and knocks out Rockhold, that gives John Jones no chance but to fight him.
It's hard to not talk about Jones, but I think that you're right. I agree with you. I think that Santos and Rockhold is the fight to make, right there. No.
Well, I don't think it has to. Like, yes, he could show up in a couple weeks, sit front row and face, like, they could call that as the next fight. But at the end of the day, I think Jones is fighting DC pretty soon, and I do not think it's going to be a 205.
Well, we'll talk about that when we take a look at that fight, like, Lionheart fight. But because I disagree, I don't think that fight's happening at heavyweight. But let's stick with Prague here. Well, it seems... as hard as it is to avoid talking about John Jones, that the fight for Santos is looking like is probably going to be Luke Rockhold. Yeah. I mean, maybe he doesn't have to do that to earn a title shot, but like you're saying, to get John Jones to pay attention. Yeah, and you got to get Jones to pay attention. And beating somebody like Rockhold would give Santos that attention, and vice versa. If Rockhold and handles a beast...
Yeah. Knockout last night was pretty fucking savage.
Oh, it was pretty awesome. I mean,
and that's what I was thinking too. Is like Rockhold, yeah, fucking move him to 205. You cannot take those shots.
I don't think he can take those shots. Rockhold's
can't take those shots, bro.
He's got to learn to keep that fucking chin tucked when he gets in trouble. He has this tendency, and I'm not trying to mock the dude. He's a great fighter. He's fucking top notch. But he's really cocky, and sometimes when he gets in trouble, he puts his hands up in the air in this weird way and throws his chin up and backs up. Well, and also, you're gonna get slept doing that against a beast like Santos,
here's
man.
The thing too is when he starts hitting people too, he drops his hands and just is like, all right, I'm gonna fuck you up, and just like tries to throw weird shit.
Yeah.
Like, we saw that against Yoel. He started hitting Yoel. He started tagging Yoel a little bit and then just kind of got overconfident and ate a knee.
Night, yeah. You can't do that up at 205. Even
no way. Same thing you did with Bisping, literally. He went in there. He started hurting Bisping in the beginning. Everyone's like, oh, looks like it's going to be all over again, you know? Like, it was like, oh, let's look. It's Rockhold's that much better than him. Gets overconfidence, gets clipped, and gets put away. That's literally been his whole career. Literally.
Sad but
go
true.
Go back to Strikeforce.
Sad but true, it has.
What happened in Strikeforce? Same shit. What happened against Vitor Belfort? Same shit.
How does he ever fix that? Does he change camps?
It has nothing to do with camps. It's in his head.
It's just
he
what,
gets
is
to
this
is... point where he starts putting it on someone and he wants to turn it into a show. I get that. I understand because he's trying to make his resume look even better by getting these flashy
the fucking highlight reel bullshit.
Highlight reel,
yeah.
Like, putaways, like, but if he would just fight like he did against Chris Weidman every fucking time, he would beat everyone.
Yeah, he gets that I guess it boils down to a little of that arrogant, cocky streak. All fighters got to have it, but when you try to get too flashy and fucking...
Well, when you get older and you've been put away three of your last five fights, it's fucking hard, man.
Yeah. And I don't mean... Like, he obviously didn't take Bisping seriously, and look what happened. And, it's repetitively. Five? Yeah.
Yeah. That just sucks. That just sucks for him, because we're talking about a guy who could legitimately be middleweight champion right now if he could just get his shit together.
He's got so many tools.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. And he's a fucking monster at 185.
Yeah, he is.
I mean...
He's really big.
Which begs the question, too, to his defense, does his chin deplete at 185? But, then again, if you can't take those shots at 185, how are you going to take them at 205? It just... It's fucking... I don't know with him. It's really going to come down to what's going on in his head.
He's definitely needs to have a fight before he starts talking about fucking with John Jones, though.
I don't think it's a good idea for him to fuck with John Jones. I think he's waiting for John Jones to move up. But do you think if John Jones moves up, he stays a heavyweight?
Or do you think,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Even if he moves up, I think he only moves up for like two super fights, and then he comes back to 205. So I just think these guys at 205, and I know we keep going back to him, but I just think it all revolves around.
Well, you can't really talk about 205 without talking about John Jones. Well, yeah.
Like I was saying before, I think it's going to come down to these guys giving him a reason to stay, or give him a reason not to fight DC. Give him like everyone keeps getting bitching about double champs. Give him a fucking reason why they can't move up. You know what I'm saying? Like. Do what Marlon Moraes is doing. Marlon Moraes is giving TJ Dillashaw no reason why he should not fight him right now. You know? Although it's a tough road, but if you are truly the best in the world, you're going to beat those guys anyways.
Yeah, for real.
You know what I'm saying? So you got to give these... You got to... In this world, if you are not great on the microphone, you need to be spectacular in the octagon.
Absolutely.
That's what it boils down to.
Well, speaking of a little bit of both of that, I mean, I think that about wraps up UFC Prague. There wasn't a whole lot more to talk about on that card, really. But being good on the microphone and being spectacular in the octagon is a good recipe, and it kind of describes James Gallagher last night. Yeah. Bouncing back from that knockout loss.
That was a rough one. Man.
That was a rough one, but he came back like a champ. Yeah. I mean, he came back the right way. He was all right afterwards. He admitted,
he took some time off,
and comes back and does what he does best, puts on a grappling display. Bellator Dublin.
He's like the opposite Conor McGregor. Like he's like great on the ground,
right?
Kind of shady on his feet, and then Conor's trash on the ground. No one's fucking with him on his feet.
So that was a pretty interesting show.
The anti-McGregor, but tattoos, talks the same shit.
I know,
bro. Fights at the same gym. Well, who knows? But fights at the same gym supposedly. He's under Kavanaugh, all that shit. But you got to think a lot of those guys in the gym are kind of like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They all got their little Conor. Like,
it's hard not to have that type of thing rub off on you, right? Especially when you see the success that Conor's had. You want to kind of...
And him being like the first one, it's like,
grab that flavor.
Of course, yeah. You got to squeeze the orange, you know?
Fuck yeah.
And a lot of that's what SBG has kind of done. Because now they've signed this deal with Bellator where they've brought in a lot of their fighters... Like Peter Quilly, who was in the co-main event, and a lot of those guys to come over to Bellator, and that kind of fucks with the UFC because the UFC, when Conor was at his height, was really trying to tap into that market, and they brought in Patty, and then they had
right.
Who was it that came in before Conor? Pendred Cathal.
Oh yeah, Pendred Cathal. Yeah, Cathal Pendred. Yeah.
Yeah, he was on the Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah.
But so you know they kind of tried to tap into the market. Yeah. So now. That the UFC is kind of, now Conor's not in it, all that shit. Bellator's kind of gone in there and completely took that market away from them at this point.
Yeah, they have. They've got the Irish stars now, and they're putting on shows. And that fucking crowd went nuts last night. Nuts. I mean, that shit was electric. You'd think Conor was there 100%. The way they were going. Like when Peter Quilly came in to Zombie. And it's gonna get stuck in everybody's head. If you saw it last night, you know Zombie.
Fucking singing it all day.
Yeah, it's been in the back of your head. It's been in the back of my head all morning. But is it electric, man? Yeah. It's fucking electric. Now speaking of him, he lost last night. A bit of a grudge match against a former teammate who went over and helped Khabib prepare for Conor.
True. trainer.
Kind of a close fight.
Yeah, super close.
You know, it could have gone either way.
It was his Bellator debut, though.
His Bellator debut, yeah.
That's a tough fight to take for your first fight in that big-ass stadium with all that tension.
Yeah.
Fuck. But hey, man.
Hey, that's what it's about, though.
It's best for him to take those losses in his first Bellator fight than his fifth or sixth, you know?
Yeah. I would agree. And it wasn't like he came out and got his ass kicked. I mean, yeah. it was a close competitive fight. It was good. You know, a bit of a tough pill to swallow, I'm sure, for the team and for him.
Yeah.
But kind of speaking along those lines, did you notice Khabib's second cousin fought last night in another promotion, which I forget, and got knocked the fuck out by a sick-ass flying knee?
Really?
Yeah, if you want to see it, folks, check out my Twitter, at MarketingPro13. I got it up there right now. Sick-ass. Knocked silly, and then Khabib comes over, and then there's this great picture of Khabib kneeling over his fallen cousin, who's just all laid out with his flying knee from fucking hell, man. Jesus. So sick.
I hate to bring this up, but have you seen that video that's circulating this week of that guy who in that smaller promotion doing a backflip off the fucking cage in the middle of the fight, dude?
No, I missed this one.
It's hilarious, dude. He fucking is like straight WWE, like fucking, like he tries to fly near me, like it misses. He grabs the fence and does a backflip over him and then fucking super kicks him, dude. It's fucking intense.
So let me get this straight. He's approaching his opponent who's got his back to the cage. He tries a flying knee. I assume the opponent moves and he lands on the cage and then he hangs on the cage.
Yeah, hangs on the cage.
And then attempts a backflip off of the cage.
Like, and then
did he land the backflip?
Yeah, he landed, dude. It's fucking intense. I'm pulling it up.
Man. That's crazy.
It's fucking hilarious.
That is absolutely nuts.
Oh, dude, it's hilarious. I think I sent it to you.
And then he lands a kick after he does this?
Yeah, they stand up and he lands a kick.
Wow. We'll have to put this up here. I'll link to it. If you're watching on YouTube, I'll link to it below. You can check this out, too.
Yeah, fuck.
That's pretty sick, man.
But, yeah, let's...
So I guess it's not a penalty to grab the cage if your opponent is not around? Is it? Like, is it a penalty? If your opponent's not trying to take you down, it's not a penalty then, right?
I don't know.
That's fucking weird.
I think
weird.
This guy's just on some fucking weird shit and just did that.
he's all roided up?
Sort of.
Going in like a beast.
Dude, I'm having a hard time finding this now. Fuck, of course.
Well, we can come back to it later.
Yeah, of course.
But, circling back to UFC Dublin, I keep wanting to call it UFC Dublin. That's so funny because we always thought UFC was going to dominate that market because of Conor, and they fucking never did shit.
They fucked up.
And now that, I mean, if you don't think we're on the sunset of Conor's career, well, whatever, but it doesn't seem like they're going to Dublin anytime fucking soon.
You're fucking joking.
Yeah.
Like,
so, Bellator Dublin has made it out there now. And fucking
think about it. James Gallagher could fight in the UFC probably right now.
Yeah.
They fight. Is he fighting 145?
He's 35. Yep.
Damn.
Yep.
But something we haven't talked about yet on this podcast.
What's that?
Bellator's doing some real shit over there, man. Now they got that 145 tournament that they announced that's going to happen in the fall. They haven't really announced it. They just announced that it's going to happen.
And they signed a deal with Sky Sports, I do believe, which is Sky Sports is the ESPN equivalent. Like, we're used to seeing UFC on BT Sports 2 over there. But being here in the USA, we don't really know what these are. But BT Sports is like the second tier. Sky Sports is the top tier. It's the shit over there. And they just signed a fucking deal.
It's like TSN.
Yeah. They just signed a fucking deal for distribution. Bellator. That's sick.
Yeah, we forgot to talk about that. But that was that Paul Daly versus MVP fight was the first ever on Sky Sports.
Well, that was a bit of a letdown for them. I mean,
it's still huge. It's still,
huge. Ratings. Yeah, I'm sure. There's better fights than that, people.
But yeah, no. So Bellator's really just stepped in the European market, and where the UFC was going to take a lot of people, now Bellator's getting a lot of the best guys.
Is this Coker pulling the strings? I mean, is this all his direction? I don't know what kind of power he has over there. Like, Dana used to be the guy at the UFC, but now it's Endeavor behind the scenes, and Dana's like the front man, you know? I don't think he really has the pull anymore.
The UFC's kind of switched up their entire, pool to tap in. Now they're trying to tap in the Asian market. Now they're talking about the UFC Performance Center in China. They're doing events in China. They're like, you know, things, they're trying to go in that direction, which is kind of more, I don't know.
I mean, we got one over there.
It's kind of the hotbed now, though. When you think of one and Ryzen, like right now, they're coming to the U.S. market. So you got to think a lot of these fighters over there are getting a lot of notoriety over here, especially like I was on just randomly flipping through channels at like midnight the other night. What's on TNT? One championship.
Dude. Yeah. Just
showing them, like throwing, like random fights.
They got the old fights now. Yeah. They're broadcasting, they of course. Broadcast on
there. So like, you got to think some of these guys are gonna, their names are gonna get out there, and then you got guys like Eddie Alvarez and Demetrius Johnson, which will just carry the shield for the whole fucking organization, and those guys that are able to put on good performances against one of those two are going to get the big name. You know what I'm saying?
And those are such a good signing by them, because it's a little bit like Bellator has signed some UFC guys that are big name, but they're mostly, for the most part, they're kind of the over-the-hill guys.
Yeah, those are the but two that they have are fucking
the two that one picked up are legit fighters still with years ahead of them.
It's kind of similar to kind of similar to when Bellator picked up Rory and fucking Gegard.
It's like, it's along that line. Everyone
in the UFC is just like, what the fuck? Those guys are in their prime still.
Yeah, what the fuck?
What the fuck are they doing? They're going to lose all, or Ryan Bader, same thing. Like, what the fuck was it? Everyone was like, what the fuck is the UFC doing right now? Because now there's possibly three guys who could be top 10 pound for pound in the world right now that are
hanging out in Bellator, not in the UFC, and don't seem very interested in getting over to the UFC either, which is a big difference than fucking 5-10 years ago.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
It's a different landscape now.
I like it, though. I like it better.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, the UFC, I don't like a lot of the shit that they've done over the years. I get why they did it, and I get why the Fertittas wanted to have a fucking uniform and USADA and all this fucking shit. I get it, because they're trying to cash out.
Yeah.
But then Coker's the guy that knows what he's doing right now. Yeah. He's the guy that gives a fuck about the sport, it seems. Like, he seems to have stepped up in the role that the Fertittas used to fill. Whether you liked what every decision the old UFC made or not, you always knew the fucking Dana and the Fertittas basically gave a shit about fighting.
Yeah.
You know, they
made the right fights.
Yeah, and they gave a shit about the integrity of fighting. Like, and that's not it anymore. We all know that's not how it goes anymore. Yeah.
It's all about the superstars.
But Coker seems to be that guy. I mean, all the fighters seem to like him.
Well, and you know what he does when he puts on these tournaments? He makes these fights where people have to fight each other.
Yeah.
It comes down to, like, you're not going to be champion. There's no paper champions in Bellator because you have to fight everybody to get that shot.
I like it. It's good times in MMA, like, man.
You don't really get to leapfrog people, you know what I'm saying?
They don't seem too interested in that. I don't know.
But, I forgot to tell you, though. So that 145
tournament. Oh, yeah. We were going to talk about that 145 tournament. Yeah, 145 tournament. Mm-hmm.
They're talking about.
That's a 16-man, right?
16-man invitational. So, and it's going to be done differently this time. All the first-round fights are going to be done the same night. All the second-round fights will be done on the same night. All the third-round and the final will be done on the same night.
I like that. I imagine most folks listening like that. I believe that's a dope fucking way to do it.
So, like, they'll start the first event, and then I think he said it's 3 months or 4 months in between each fight. So the first round, and then 4 months, and then the second round, 4 months, third round, and then I think the final is, I think this, I can't remember exactly when he said it was going to be. He
said it sounds like they're moving along pretty fucking well.
He actually, like, said the dates, like, pretty much. I just can't remember
exactly. Well, that's been one of the few criticisms about their current tournaments that they've been doing, these Grand Prix, is that they're kind of, especially the heavyweight one, kind of drug out.
He said it's going to take a year, but that one makes more sense to take a year when you're going to have these filled out cards.
Yeah, 16 fucking fighters starting instead of 8. That's a whole different ballgame. Yeah. 100%.
Well, and he also named guys like Aaron Pico, freaking Darian Caldwell is going to move up and be in it. And then you got guys like Pitbull, who's going to have the title, and it's going to be on the line during this tournament, similar to what Rory's doing. And then Strauss, AJ McKee. It's going to be.
That's a really sick bracket. A lot of those names are like.
He said he would even ask James Gallagher if he'd want to come up and fight in it as well. That'd be fucking sick, dude. So that's what's cool about Bellator is, like, at the end of the day, they're just looking for the best fights. Like, similar to what they did that, like, I think the welterweight tournament's pretty much the only tournament so far that's had all the welterweights. You know, like that heavyweight tournament was like, there was a couple middleweights in there, there was a light heavyweight in there, and the heavyweight. So.
Well, it seems like they're improving shit as they're going along. Yeah, absolutely.
Not, it's not who, you know what I'm saying?
They're not who makes the most. Yeah. It's the quality of the fights from a sporting perspective is what we're talking about. When we say it's all about the fights, you can say, well, the UFC is all about making the big fights too. Well, that's the money. Yeah, they're about getting some money.
There's a big fight and a money fight.
And there's a difference between a sporting aspect of the fight, like who should be fighting
There's a difference between a great fight and a money fight. Simple as that. Like, Dustin Poirier and Max Holloway is a great fight. Conor Max Holloway is a money fight. You know, because, like, if you're necessarily speaking, Max might just put it on him and put him away. That could happen
very easily.
And in the same way, Conor could just put him away. But I don't think... Like, those two are two dominant fighters. But when you have, like, a Poirier and Holloway or just two dogs who are, like, really, like, are just looking to put their name on the map, that's going to be a great fight.
Hell yeah.
Whereas, like, WME makes his Conor Cowboy fight. That's kind of a money fight. Just two guys who are also just looking to knock each other out. Like, it's just going to generate numbers. There's fights that just generate numbers, and there's fights that you know when you schedule them, you better fucking be watching. You
know, absolutely. Well, I think, you know, speaking of that, kind of leads us into some fight announcements that we got coming up this week. But that kind of wraps up. The Dublin card was good. I mean, we had Gallagher win. We had Peter lose. Yeah. They were good fights. The rest of the card was great. The crowd was awesome. Bellator is fucking really kicking some ass and killing it right now.
They're going to take over the European game, and then no one really cared about the, like, I think European MMA is going to stop really caring about UFC pretty soon.
Soon, if they don't watch it. Yeah. But you were just talking about, Paul, the Dustin Poirier versus Max Holloway. Let's talk about some announced fights, and that's the biggest of the announced fights this week, folks. If you haven't heard, somehow.
You got the interim title doubleheader.
The interim title, the interim 155-pound title, yet again, not without controversy on this, because it's going to be Khabib, as we've discussed, is sitting out the fucking year.
Dude, you know what I just realized?
Huh.
If Max Holloway wins, he'll be the first double interim champ.
Oh, my God. The double interim. The interim double. Ugh. Fuck the. First off, let me say, fuck this, the interim titles.
The interim title here doesn't make sense.
It only makes sense because you have a champion who's refusing to do a public service announcement for bullying on a fucking holier-than-thou fucking attitude. All right?
I mean, I get it because they held all that money from him. He's like, fuck you, I'm not going to do it.
Then he should say that's why he's not doing it, not because Las Vegas is filled with prostitution and gambling. Or really, you didn't have to fight.
Yeah, and don't even get me started.
That's fucking ridiculous. Vegas, seriously.
Killing gay dudes. Fuck you.
Right. Your country is rounding up and murdering gay people, and you're trying to say we're bad because of prostitution and gambling. Khabib told women to stay home and fuck their husbands and instead of being careers and having fighters. Look the video up. And he's trying to be like, Vegas sucks because you have prostitution and gambling, so I'm not going to do a public service announcement for children.
I get why he's mad.
It's for children.
Well, I get why he's not doing it because of the 500K. I get that.
Yeah, then say that. Just be a man and be like, dude, you kept my money. Fuck you.
Smacked him in the face with it. So
yeah, they did.
I get that, but don't fucking try to play like you're more holier than motherfucking ever when you're over here supporting.
Yeah, like it's some matter of
gay
morals.
Dude murders them,
and seriously.
And then went publicly on a children's fucking like TED talk and told them to not follow their dreams and go home. And
yeah, told women to not follow their dreams and stay home and smash their husbands instead.
Yeah.
You can look this shit up, people.
You literally can, yeah.
Like,
and it's all translated too, literally, word for word.
So stop with your fucking morals, and you're telling people that we're bad here in Vegas. That's absurd. He could have his. The point being of our little rant here is that Khabib could have his time off reduced down to 6 months, but he's not only refusing to do the public service announcement, he's going to sit out an additional 3 months because of his teammates that attacked Conor McGregor, getting a year suspension. So he has forced the creation of this interim title bout, which we hypothesized on this show last week that it might be between Conor and Cowboy. I am happier that it's going to be between Max Holloway, the 145-pound champion, and Dustin Poirier, because Tony Ferguson, who is the got stripped of the last interim title they created because he hurt his knee, even though he wound up fighting on the exact same card that the champion did, so he could have fought the champ. Yeah. Whole nother story there. But they already created one interim title, took it away from him. They offered him the fight, and he was like, fuck you, I'm not fighting for yet another interim title, which I already had. I've already won 387 fights in a fucking row in the lightweight division.
I mean, yeah, but at the same time, so is Max Holloway.
This
so
dude has won.
Poirier. That's the thing, is lightweight's been held up so long. There's so many guys who have so many wins in a row that you can't really deny any of them. What, Poirier's got, what, 6 in a row? And then fucking Max is at 14? And then fucking...
Well, Max is the featherweight, though. But I mean, but you're right. He does have that.
14 straight fights. Yeah,
and then Ferguson's got the record right now, I do believe. 11. At least for the lightweight division.
Right, 11?
11 or 12.
Yeah. But then you got Max, who's got 14. I would have loved to see him and Max.
I don't think he's had 14 fights since he lost to Connor.
Yeah?
Has he? I thought it was 11.
When he fought Jose the first time, he was at 11.
Well, either way, it's a fucking log jam, and I do either support way. The creation of an interim in this
maybe
instance.
It is at 14, but at the same time, what I'm saying is he still has a shitload. Him and Tony are super close. I think he has one more than Tony. I think
that they do need the title in this case, and we might even need to see this title defended. If Khabib's really sitting out that long, there's no reason
to
keep it.
Honestly, I think this is Connor's way back to the title.
How do you think? Break it down for the people.
Let's say Dustin Poirier gets a job done against Khabib and gets a job done against fucking Max, dude, which is really tough to say. But I think Connor could KO fucking Poirier again.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that statement. But that's putting quite a bit out there. Poirier's a much improved fighter.
I'd love to see Max and Connor again, too, for a title again.
Yeah, I'd like to see that as well.
But then, once again, where's Tony going to fit in any of this?
I get why he didn't take the fight.
Yeah.
But in an exact same breath, I don't get why he didn't take the fight. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Just wait now? You're going to wait on Khabib? We're all waiting on Khabib. You're going to wait on him?
Yeah, I think the same thing. Honestly.
Because Khabib's if he comes back in November, he's going to fight whoever has this interim title. So then it's going to be another 3 months after that. So what, Tony's going to sit out a year?
Maybe a year.
When he's not injured, maybe a year and a half?
Then he goes,
really?
And then he tweets out, I can make 145. So, bitch, the 145 fucking title is at 155 now. So you had the chance to fight that motherfucker. You should have took it.
Dude, how about you make 170?
I get it. He's fucking had injuries, and things have happened where he's gotten fucked over in his interim title. He didn't want to fight for an
interim
title.
Totally not his fault. He totally got fucked. Yeah.
Why the fuck not? If it wasn't for an interim title, I'd still want you to fight that motherfucker, because then that gives nowhere for anybody to say that you don't belong, because that's where a lot of people who are not casual fans are thinking, because you have, honestly, although Tony's got some great performances, he doesn't have very many signature wins against people everybody knows. You know, he's got that. And his big wins have kind of been marred with controversy. Like, that Pettis was great. That was a great fight.
It's a great fight, but then Pettis is breaking his hand and, like, you know, quits on the stool.
Pretty much at the end of the day.
Yeah, pretty much.
That Khabib fight, there's been back and forth, the dropouts, what, 4 times?
4 times that fight's been booked.
And then he was the one to get injured before Khabib became a big star. So now people kind of think of him as like, oh, dude, he's fragile. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then he's kind of cringeworthy, too, with, like, his shit talk. He's kind of trash. Like, you know, he's trying to fight Verdum and shit. Like, I just don't think he's marketable, and it's not his fault. And it sucks because he's a great fighter, but he's the odd man out right now. He's the odd man out.
Which is why, I agree totally, which is why he should have taken the fight. Yeah, absolutely.
It sucks for him. It really does. Because I do think that, honestly, he could be the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world if he was given the chance.
Mm-hmm.
But is he going to ever be given the chance is the question.
Look at the way the UFC just...
And you think he's getting older and older and older, too. So it's like, eventually, he's going to be a little bit slower than these guys. Eventually,
he's like 35.
Abilities are going to drop off a little bit. Whereas you look at somebody like Dustin Poirier and Max Holloway. Max is, what, 26? And Dustin Poirier is, what, 29? Like, these guys are still way, way in their prime. Like, Max's prime just got started. Dustin probably has another 3 or 4 years until he starts.
Tony's on a ticking clock.
That's what I'm saying.
And I was going to say, you think he could look at what the UFC just did in the welterweight division with their interim champions and an injury, and then decided that, yeah, I'm not going to get my way here. Because it's obvious. Yeah. I mean, Colby Covington didn't get his title shot with the interim champ.
Even if you do drop to 145, Tony, what are you going to do down there?
Don't. Like, he's 5'11 and a half.
What are you going to fight for a fucking interim title there?
Does it look like he has any fucking weight to lose on fight night?
If anything, I'd rather him go to 170.
Exactly. Yeah, okay, let's talk about that, dude. Why don't you add a little muscle or quit cutting and go to 170, see what's up then. He's tall. He's fucking lanky. Yeah. He's a big dude.
I just think that he's really... He's real as fuck, and he's real to a downfall. When keeping it real goes wrong. That's literally what this is.
When keeping it real goes wrong, like we just said, how long is he going to possibly sit out playing this game?
He's going to
sit out like Colby Covington? You're going to just sit forever and then demand your release? And then he's fucking 35. Colby's only 30.
Yeah.
He can fuck around with his career a minute.
Yep.
And he's not 35 in a heavyweight division. He's 35 in the shark den.
And for Dustin Poirier to go on Twitter and say, fucking release me, like, I think that fight was done and Tony walked away.
Yeah.
Like, you got to think that fight was done on paper. And they told Dustin's fucking manager that he was not going to get the fight. And that they were going to go with Tony Ferguson, and then something after that had to have gone wrong with Tony Ferguson, and him ended up not taking it. Like, and that's on him at this point. You can't sit here and bitch that you're not getting the big fights, and then decline the big fights.
This is true. So up next, then, we have got the retirement of one Georges St-Pierre, arguably the greatest mixed martial artist of all time, who... has stepped away from the game before, but he has never actually said the words, I am retiring. So
now
he has. A lot of talk about a fight between him and Khabib not coming to fruition. Khabib wanted it. He wanted it. Apparently, from all reports, the UFC was like, nope, ain't happening. Thanks.
You know why? It makes a lot of sense. Think about it this way. You know that's going to be GSP's last fight no matter what.
Yeah.
You're the UFC. You have Khabib, who's 27-0 now, right? So you have a guy who's 27-0 against a guy who is one of the greatest of all time. Why would you want to tarnish either of their records ever?
Yeah, even if he did it at a catchweight and didn't fuck with the title.
Because now you have a guy who's undefeated, who gets defeated by someone who's, in a lot of people's eyes, considered the greatest of all time. So why would you tarnish either GSP being the greatest of all time and being able to market him as one of their...
Their veterans, UFC marquee fucking...
They're veterans and put them in the Hall of Fame and do all that shit. And it'll get ratings because everyone will want to see...
He goes out as the champ. Yeah.
You know, I'm sure he'll have multiple fights get put into the Hall of Fame as well. So you got to think, why would you take that away by possibly him being mauled by Khabib and that being everyone's last thought of him? Or on the other side, why would you give GSP that fight? Because then GSP just goes in... Beats Khabib.
Fucks up your guy and pieces out.
Defeats your best guy, knocks him back in line, and then walks away.
Yeah. Defeats their undefeated monster and then walks away from
the sport.
So if
you're Dana White and you're WME, why do you want that fight?
Oh, I agree.
You don't, straight up. You don't want that fight.
That makes sense looking at it from their eyes. So he's retired. I think it's legit this time. What do you think? You think he's staying done?
Yeah, I think he's done.
Because there was some talk it was a tactic to get this fight. I don't think the UFC is worried
about that. I think the only fight that would get him out of bed is if Ben Askren becomes huge and GSP looks at it as like, Ben Askren's not a guy who's going to knock me the fuck out. He's a guy who's going to try to wrestle me and I'm down with a grappling match with a few punches.
Now this could be just smoke and bullshit, but Woodley came out and said that GSP turned down several fights with him.
I'm sure he did. He's come out and said that he did not want to fight Tyron Woodley.
Yeah, he said he wasn't interested in that.
Never interested in that. Because he doesn't want
in
to
that
get
170
the fuck
bet.
Out. Yeah. I'm telling you, he's looking for fights where it's going to be a grappling match and he just thinks he has superior grappling.
Mm-hmm. Or a distinct advantage. Like you talked about Conor. He would have a distinct size advantage over Conor McGregor. 100%. I mean,
would he though? If he got down, if the fight was at like one.
I mean, he's 6 feet tall, isn't he?
Yeah, but I'm saying like.
And Conor's 5'9.
I'm saying if they fought it, if GSP came down.
Oh, to lightweight? I don't know. It's hard to say that. We've never seen George at lightweight. It's hard to say.
He looked like lightweight a couple months ago.
Dude, in those sauna picks that we talked about when they came out, it looked like he was doing a test cut to 155.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he probably hit the mark, too, if they were looking for that Khabib fight and trying to push that.
You know what else I think is the hidden message behind this, too? This might be obvious to some people, but he's not talking about a Conor fight, which would indicate to me that Conor's tied up in a fight, which has got to be the Cowboy fight, is a done deal, like Rogan's come out and said.
It's 100% a done deal, because that Dustin Poirier and Max Holloway fight would not become a done deal, because those were the other two guys everyone was talking about Conor was going to fight. So, yeah, the Cowboy fight is a done deal, for sure.
So
I think they said an international fight week, probably. Which would be dope.
Yeah, that would be dope.
Maybe they give him the day before card.
Yeah, they usually do. I don't think we're ever going to see three in a row like we did in the heyday of the Fertittas.
There was three in a row last year.
There was only two.
Yeah?
Yeah. There wasn't the Thursday. They've done the Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yeah. Last year they only did the Friday and Saturday.
Eddie Alvarez won the titles on Thursday night.
Yeah, that was the last one. That was dope. I love those, dude. Being a Vegas local and you got fucking events, UFC events on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And it's like they go in size succession. They start at the Palms, and they go to like a mid-sized place, and then they wind up at fucking T-Mobile.
Yep.
Fucking dope shit, man. But so I don't think we're getting those again. We'll get the back-to-back events, though.
Well, you know what it also, too, is that was... That was during UFC 100, wasn't it? Or no, 200.
200.
Sorry, 200. I believe that was the same weekend, so that was a historic weekend as well. So I think that just made sense for three events. So,
well, rounding out the GSP retirement talk here, what's your favorite moment of George St. Pierre's historic career?
I'll give you my favorite, like, five.
And here, you know, we got a lot of people that listen to our show that may not, you know, GSP is kind of old school. He's been out of the game for a while. I mean, the man, he only lost two fights ever, and he avenged both of those defeats.
In a dominant fashion.
In a very dominant fashion. So.
My favorite moment is when he walked in the octagon after Matt Hughes defending his title. He's like, "I'm not impressed by your performance." Trying to talk shit, and he just doesn't know how.
That was a classic right there.
Hilarious.
And he had lost to Matt Hughes.
It's almost as funny as when Vanderlei tried to call out Chuck Liddell.
Yeah.
It was like those two are like, ooh, those are rough.
I'm not impressed by your performance. That's a classic MMA line that he'll always be remembered by. Oh, and folks, if you don't know the circumstances, he had already lost to Matt Hughes. He had challenged for the title. Matt Hughes was the longtime MMA, our longtime UFC welterweight champion. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. Just recovered from a fucking train accident, of all things. He's a beast. But George fought him in his first title shot and lost, and then fought his way back. He was cage side at a Matt Hughes victory and came into the octagon and said that classic line. Say it again for us, Paul. It's too much with the French.
But, okay,
but yeah, so mine...
My favorite fight of his, though, is probably, I like the Bisping one because it was like, it showed how much he evolved and how much his style can still work. And it's all about his technique rather than his size. You know what I mean? Because when you look at that Bisping fight, he took some fucking blows, man. But at the end of the day, he was just willing to take those shots and wait for his openings, you know?
Yeah.
And that just shows how diverse his skills are, you know what I'm saying? Which really makes him why everyone loves him so much and just love to watch him fight over the years, you know?
I like that one, too. That was a great fucking iconic moment. My favorite George St. Pierre fight is one a lot of people, I'm sure everybody, probably no one else in the world would pick this fight. But actually, I liked the fight a lot. People said it was boring, but it was Jake Shields versus George St. Pierre.
I thought you were going to say that.
Yeah, I still am. I'm a huge Jake Shields fan. And when he came into that fight, there was a lot of fucking hype behind him. Like, that was going to be a fucking fight for George.
He was like, oh, fuck. Everyone was like, yeah, George is going to lose.
Yep, because Jake Shields' grappling is fucking something. I mean, his striking has always been awkward, but he's still managed to fucking strike and
And he was like the first dude to like kind of talk shit to George.
Yeah, he came in with that.
Fuck you, George.
Yeah, he's a Scrat Pack member, Diaz training partner, that whole little crew of Nick and Nate Diaz and Gilbert Melendez and Josh Thompson.
It wasn't like absurd shit talk like that.
Or not Josh Thompson. What am I saying?
It was just like, fuck you. Like,
yeah.
I'm not here to respect you. I'm here to beat you.
Yeah. So I liked that fight a lot. It was in Toronto, Canada, in front of a huge, huge crowd. Yeah, it was awesome.
Moment in UFC history.
And George just shut him down. I mean, it was a decision fight. George won every round.
Imagine if that fight happened nowadays. It would be so much bigger.
Yeah.
If George went back to Canada and fought in either that same arena or a bigger one. Telling you, man, I think he's got one left. The only one he could have left is either going to be Askren or Khabib.
Yeah.
And maybe it's after Khabib loses.
It could be.
Or the winner of Askren and Khabib fights GSP.
Well, George St. Pierre, what can you say? I'd say for right now, if you're looking at retired fighters, that's probably the greatest fighter of all time at the moment. Inactive, retired, not in the cage, you know, looking at that class of fighter that's on the sidelines now. How can you not say this guy?
I mean, he's the greatest welterweight of all time.
Definitely the greatest welterweight.
I don't think he's the greatest pound-for-pound
fighter. Well, I think that wraps up our George St. Pierre talk. And so next we've got our fighters who smoke. Now, in our fighters who smoke, we've got an opponent of George St. Pierre's, yeah, actually, right? Who are we looking at this week? Paul, why don't you tell us?
My fighter who smokes is going to be John Fitch.
John Fitch, welterweight.
He's going to fight against Rory McDonald for the welterweight championship.
Yes, current Bellator fighter in their tournament, former UFC fighter, former title challenger.
As we're talking about, every fight, the belt on the line. So technically, he's fighting for the belt here.
Oh, yes, absolutely. He's fighting for the belt there. You know, a lot of people wouldn't even realize John Fitch is a smoker.
Well, you want to hear some crazy shit.
Why don't you tell us about it?
So basically, for people who don't know, in 2008, John Fitch almost died of a painkiller overdose after he had a surgery.
So coming off an injury on prescription. Was this a MMA injury or something unrelated? MMA injury?
And then once again in 2011, he had a torus rotator cuff and had surgery, and they put him on the shit, and he had a terrible time getting off it. And then he started using medical cannabis. He's a medical patient now.
So he got a medical card, likely in California, I would imagine, at the time. That's where he was training out at. He's an AKA. Yep. He trains there.
So, yeah, now he's an avid cannabis, like, user and activist as well. When Nick Diaz was going through his shit, he came out and was like, Nevada is just trying to look for someone to kiss their ass, and they've got the wrong guy if you're talking to Nick Diaz.
Yeah, as a reminder to folks, the Nick Diaz situation was 2015. He got, after his Anderson Silva fight.
5 years.
Yeah.
I think it went down to.
Tested positive for 300, above 300 nanograms of cannabis in his system, and was banned for first life, then 5 years, which is career ending.
18 months, I think, after.
When steroid users were getting 9 month suspensions at the time. So he came out in big support of Nick publicly about that.
Yeah, which is great. You know, it's another thing where we're looking at guys who are on the athlete side of things and not necessarily retired. Because there's a lot of retired athletes who are like activists now.
Right.
Ricky Williams and like people like that who are just going out there and putting on for these CBD companies and a lot of these dispensaries and stuff. But now you got a guy who's actively competing, and also says that he's using a lot of cannabis and shit like that to recover from injuries.
Right,
which is huge. You know,
that's very huge, because we've been fed this bullshit mainly from the United States government for all these years that one of the side effects of fucking being a cannabis user is like you're some fucking lazy dumbass.
Well, that brings me to another thing that that Fitch has said in the past. He's gone on record was saying that cannabis doesn't make you a shitty person. Cannabis doesn't make you a shitty parent. You can highly function. You can do everything and still be a cannabis user. You know what I'm saying?
100%. That's huge.
For people like him to go out there and say things like that.
Yeah, because everybody hears that shit from some dude they just know is a stoner, and they're like, yeah, right. What are you high right now? Yeah. You high right now telling us that? But somebody respected, like you're saying, about like John Fitch, who's a – an undeniably world-class athlete.
Well, I mean, he's fought in huge organizations. Like, he fights in Bellator. He's a UFC vet. Used to fight in the World Series of Fighting, where he held...
Yeah, champ there. Yeah, PFL champ.
Now we're talking about he's fighting for the welterweight championship in Bellator.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, he'll probably never fight in the UFC again due to legal reasons, but...
Yeah, he's also one of the three fighters that filed this antitrust lawsuit almost 5 years ago now against the UFC, which is ongoing litigation. So, yeah, he's not fighting in the UFC ever again, but... That's fine. Still, he doesn't need to. He's 40 years old as well.
Yeah.
But he's still fucking competitive. He's fighting for a title.
Man, he's got some huge signature wins in Bellator. I mean, obviously, his last one against Paul Daly. He's fought names like GSP, like we talked about before, BJ Penn.
He beat Paul Daly, this year, May 12th? Or no, last year, May 12th of 2018.
Yeah, he fucked Paul Daly up, too. Fucked his whole life up. Now Paul Daly thinks he can wrestle. he fought Jake Shields in World Series of Fighting, got a win over him. So, I mean, he's a tough dude. And
he's a 40 fights, man. Yeah, 40 fights.
Even better, he's cannabis user. You know?
Absolutely. No, that's exactly why we have a little series like this, is to highlight the fact that this is not just retired athletes. Like last week we talked about Chris Bird, who's using, you know, cannabis as a retired athlete dealing with a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. And this week we're talking about John Fitch, who's an active athlete who's using cannabis regular.
And the question that gets brought up as well is he's someone who's fighting deep into his 40s. So, I think a lot of these guys' bodies start shutting down with a lot of these pills because it fucks up your body long term.
Yes. So
who's to say that moving into this for recovery could cause you a little bit longer in the game, too?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And then also the CBD, if you're a fighter who uses CBD, that can help your cognitive functions as well.
100%.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
they're learning more and more about that. CBD affecting your brain health.
Yeah.
I mean, as we speak, literally more is being learned.
100%.
It's an incredible anti-inflammatory agent that not just for your muscles, but your brain, because your brain can get inflamed as well. A lot of people think that causes, scientists are looking into that being a root cause for a lot of different problems, being inflammation on the brain. And CBD is just, and you mix it with THC, and it's just great that this info is getting out.
What people don't understand is you don't need to mix it with THC, though. Like, everyone gets worried when you talk about anything that has to deal with cannabis. Like, you could use CBD and not get high, and you're using
absolutely
it for medicine is literally something you could do. You're not, it's literally just basically a natural, like,
it's completely harmless.
Yeah.
There's no psychoactive components. Like, obviously, we're smoking weed right now, but if weed's not your thing, you can get benefits from CBD 100%, and you won't get any type of high
at all or anything like that either.
And there's no psychotic, or not psychotic, there's no psychedelic effects whatsoever.
Zero.
Certainly no psychotic effects. No, CBD. Yeah. And we're not fucking selling you CBD here. We're just telling you, as one human being to another human being, if smoking weed's not your thing,
we understand,
and you need some medicinal benefits from the marijuana plant, by all means, look into CBD.
100%.
Well, that wraps up our Fighters Who Smoke segment this week.
Thanks to John Fitch.
Thanks to John Fitch for being a member of the cause. Hell yeah, 100%.
Right,
and good luck in that upcoming fight, too. So we're going to wrap up the show.
We're going to talk about him, so let's fucking talk about him.
UFC next weekend, what is it, 235. John Jones making a quick turnaround facing Anthony Lionheart Smith. Former middleweight.
Stacked card, too.
Great.
Super stacked.
Right here in Las Vegas. We're going to be at the weigh-ins.
So easily that I'm fucking worried. It all came together so easily that, fuck, man, I'm crossing my fingers hoping that nothing happens.
Yes, me too, because we're going to be at every little event we can leading up to this thing.
100%.
And, man, I'm looking forward to this fight for sure. This whole card is going to be great.
Shit.
And, I mean, the world could be shocked, I suppose, come March 2nd.
Well, go put your money on him. He's 10-1 right now.
Is he 10-1? Man, God, that almost makes me want to just throw down money.
Yeah, but that's
take a prayer.
Also, that's kind of how betting works. Everyone goes throwing money on Anthony Smith.
All right.
The odds are going to drop. So really, that's
Vegas.
Money on Jones is what it is. But they should be, honestly, because this might be a rough one for Anthony.
Dude, I like the guy. I wish him the best of luck, but he's fighting John the current active greatest fighter in the world.
Yeah, 100%.
No one's kicking John Jones' ass, sorry, and it ain't, very likely ain't going to be Anthony Smith. I mean, I figure he's got a, in my humble opinion, I would put his odds at winning this fight at like, he's got a 10% chance.
John's going to go out there and try to submit him. Because that's where Anthony finds his most holes in his game are on the ground for sure.
You think?
I think John will go out there in the first round, test the waters on the feet. In the second round, go straight to the takedown. And then see what happens on the ground. And if he finishes him on the ground, it'll either be by strikes or choke.
So that would imply, because Anthony's more known for his striking capability, 100%. So that would imply that you think John Jones, who has in the past shown a tendency to take his opponent's strengths away from them, like if they're known for wrestling, he wants to wrestle.
In his fucking system. 100%.
So you think he's going to avoid the striking game, though, maybe a bit, and go for the sub?
I don't think he's going to completely avoid it. I just think that in the first round, he's just going to test it and see exactly where Anthony's at, not take any huge risks, but not sit back and not do anything. Kind of similar to when he fought Cormier the second time. Remember in the first round, Cormier had his most
success in that. He had that early success.
Jones was kind of sitting back, timing, only really throwing like jabs and elbows and short strikes that have big damage but don't cause him too much, you know.
Exactly. And, you know, that's basically what he did against Gustafsson as well.
I just don't know if Anthony can take those leg kicks either in that first round, because you know that's what's going to come in the first round. First round is going to be leg kicks and body work.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second round, he'll take that leg kick. You'll think it's going low, but then he's gonna pivot on his foot and it's going high. And it's either putting him out or John's going to take him down.
Yeah, I think he's going to make short work of Anthony Smith. Not to take anything away from him. He's not a shitty fighter. He's a great fighter, and I like the guy.
He's fighting the greatest fighter of all time.
Yeah, and I respect his skill set.
That's just what it is, unfortunately.
That you're fighting John motherfucking Jones, son. Like,
and if John Jones goes up to heavyweight, I guarantee you Anthony could probably pick up like an interim title when Jones is away. But
against this current crop of up and coming light heavies we were talking about already.
He's definitely in the mix, for sure,
man.
I don't think anyone's in the mix enough to really give John any trouble. Unless Luke just comes at 205 and looks.
Look, the only person in the UFC in that relative weight nearness to John Jones is anywhere close to his level is Daniel Cormier. And Daniel Cormier has been beaten twice by that motherfucker now.
I disagree.
Who else would you put this on that same level?
I think
maybe Stipe.
I think Stipe can give John a run for
his money. Stipe is the only. Yeah, all right. You know I'm a Stipe fan too. I kind of overlooked him there, but yeah, Stipe.
I think Stipe can give John some trouble. I think with the right mindset, Rockhold could give John a little bit of trouble.
I disagree with that one there, my friend. I think fucking John Jones would.
I think he'd match.
He would embarrass too, Luke Rockhold.
I'm saying with the right mindset, I think Rockhold has all the tools to make it an interesting fight.
Ooh.
Who's to say Gustafsson could? I mean, I think if Gustafsson was younger, he could have beat Jones in the second fight. Like, let's say what was supposed to happen happened, and like it turned around, and they fought the second time instead of John and DC ever fighting. I think Gustafsson could have beat him then. I just don't think you beat him now.
Talking about John Jones is a focused man these days too. He's not. The days of people being able to get one over on John Jones are fucking done now. His party days. I mean, I don't think his party days are over, but his days are kind of
not over, dude. He's doing coke like
His days of not taking his fights as seriously as he should.
Oh yeah.
That book's closed.
Done. Yeah.
That motherfucker wants to establish a legacy now and silence any future fucking critics.
Yeah.
And he's gonna begin doing it. But by beating the shit out of Anthony Smith, unfortunately.
So?
Yeah.
I think it's the beginning of the end for the light heavyweights.
I don't think Jones is going to move up to heavyweight. I think he's going to have 3 or 4 fights down at light heavyweight, and all these little young bucks we're talking about, he's just going to fight them now and kill them off.
Think so?
Almost not because, like, I think his reasoning will be different. I think he's going to be doing it because that's who's there. Yeah. But it's kind of like the way Floyd Mayweather was taking out younger fighters before they got good enough to beat him in boxing. I don't think it's the same motivation. I just think that's what's in front of John. That's, but I think he wants that 205 legacy.
I don't think those guys are at that stage right now. I think all these guys are at their peak right now.
Do you?
All of them, yeah. No way. Do you think Thiago Santos is ever going to be better than what he is right now?
Okay, well, him, no.
You think Anthony Lionheart Smith's ever going to be better than what he is right now?
Possibly. I also think, old Scotch, Johnny Walker, I think he can fucking hang in there.
Well, yeah, he's young. Lionheart's 30. Yeah, he's like 30, I want to say. 31, 32.
Yeah, I mean, he's at 40, like, two fights. I mean, he's been around a while, but
he's starting to peak, is what I'm saying. Maybe he's this not is 100% probably his there, peak, yeah. But I think he's definitely peaking. He's starting to peak. So my point is that I think either way, these guys are going to be their best version of themselves when the Jones fights them. They better be, is what I'm saying.
Also. They better be, because I don't think any of them are beating him. Now, do I think he might move to heavyweight at some point in his career? Yeah, but I don't think he's doing it to fight DC, and I don't think he's doing it next fight. That's just my opinion. Fuck
maybe
do
not
I know.
Next fight. What if he fights, let's say the DC Brock thing never happened? You think Jones would fight Brock at heavyweight?
Not only do I think that he might, I think that fight actually makes more sense than DC versus Brock, because it's not going to be for a title, and both of them are unranked heavyweights.
Well, it is going to be for a title. DC's got the heavyweight title.
No, I mean if John Jones were to fight Brock Lesnar. Oh. Like if that fight, if the DC-Brock fight doesn't happen, which I don't think
know,
will.
I don't know. You give Brock a title shot, to be honest.
I don't. Brock doesn't deserve a fucking title shot. No, for fucking Smother and Mark Hunt at UFC 200.
And if he wins, dude, although there's no real chance he wins, to be honest. But if he does win, then what? Is he just going to walk away? Like, you put yourself fucked either way.
No, it's, I hate that fight. I hate the DC Lesnar talk. It's the most undeserved fight of all time. It's fucking ridiculous. But I don't mind it if somehow or another John Jones and Brock fought at heavyweight before, not for a title, just as a let's see what Jones looks like at heavyweight, do a big money fight against Brock Lesnar, nothing on the line. Okay, that makes more sense. Neither one of them are ranked fucking fighters.
All right,
anybody that's ranking Brock, get the fuck out of here. You beat Mark Hunt. Yeah. I love Brock Lesnar, don't get me wrong. I fucking love the dude, but get the fuck out of here.
Let's look at it this way. Let's just say DC and Stipe fight. And then John, or DC doesn't want to go back to 205 and he just retires. You know? Or let's say he loses to Stipe and then retires. I think that's the only reason why he's not taking the Stipe fight is he knows he could possibly lose that. Because if he loses that fight, John fight is off the table.
Dude, all bullshit and shit talking aside, yeah, I think that's it. He knows what happened in that fight, and he knows that Stipe is a very, very, very dangerous man. That's why he didn't want to fight him.
Well,
he could have fought him instead. He could have fought at Stipe at MSG. He chose to fight Derek Lewis instead.
I think Stipe takes a full camp for sure. I don't think you can take Stipe on short notice.
Mm-hmm.
Any facet, it doesn't matter. If Stipe thinks he got screwed over there, I think in that I've been fucking for some reason on DC's side recently, but. Fucking this fool, I hate this fool, but at the same time, he's kind of right with this Stipe shit. You can't take him on a short camp. And also, man, fucking just fight, man. Jesus Christ, I'm tired of people holding out for title shots. Like we were talking about with Tony earlier. If Stipe ends up on the outside of this fight, if it ends up really being Brock and DC, or John and DC instead, like, once again, DC's just going to be, Stipe's just going to be stuck on the outside looking in, just sitting there, getting older. Getting slower, not being in the mix, and for what?
I'm not quite there yet, and the only reason being is that there's not a next fight booked for DC. If DC gets booked in a fight that's not Stipe, and Stipe continues to hold out, then I agree with everything you just said. At this point,
well,
it's like, okay, take a fucking fight, dude.
He still is going to hold out, even if he gets...
Well, he's saying that now because he wants that fight, but... So if DC does fight Brock and Stipe continues to wait, I think that's a terrible move. But right now, while it's up in the air, he's angling for that fight. I'm on his side. Give him the fight. But he's dumb if he waits longer after that.
All right, let's get into the co-main event. Marty from Nebraska versus T. Wood.
Marty. T.
Wood fucks this fool up.
Kamaru Usman, the Nigerian Nightmare, a.k.a. Marty from Nebraska. Fighting Tyrone Woodley, training partner of Ben Askren.
He's going to fuck him up, dude, I think.
Marty from Nebraska is the name given to Kamaru Usman by the wrestling team. And Ben Askren, he and Ben Askren on the same team.
It pisses him off so bad.
It's so funny. Like, he didn't go by that. It's just funny. It's not like a slur. It's like, what? That's what they all know him about. Why are you mad? I think he should embrace it. I think he should jump on that bandwagon. It's funny. Yeah. Do it. But yeah, that's a good fight, man. We got Tyrone Woodley versus Kamaru Usman.
I think he's
going to
get it.
170-pound championship. Usman?
T. Wood gets it done.
Yes.
In epic, I agree. Fashion.
Me too. I think he's going to fucking murk him.
I think he's gonna KO him for sure, because I don't think he understands how explosive Tyrone Woodley is, and how strong he is in his grappling and wrestling. Cause like, here's the deal: is they're two different kinds of wrestlers. Woodley's an explosive guy who's gonna use his strength and tend to be a little bit more defensive. And pick his moments, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Like,
Usman is relentless. Usman just tries to go after you, and he's gonna keep coming until he gets what he came to get, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's kind of a problem when you're fighting Tyrone Woodley, because Tyrone Woodley puts you, kind of how we were talking about John Dobson earlier, he puts you in a false sense of hope where he lets you walk him down, but as soon as he feels that the back of his ankle hit that fence, he's coming at you forward, and you better be fucking ready.
Oh,
if
yeah.
You're just going at him, that's not the best choice. Look at what happened to Darren Till. Darren Till tried to walk him down. He's like, come on, yeah, walk me down.
Couldn't even land a punch.
And then he just
came
after him as soon as the back of his heel hit the cage. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I think something very similar is going to happen.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I don't think Usman has the chance everybody is saying that he has to do.
Because Usman's even talking, he's like, I'm going to come in there. I'm just gonna dominate you, bro. I'm gonna come in. I'm gonna take you down. I'm gonna beat you down. Go ahead and try to come in there and try to knock or come try to take T Wood down. It's not gonna happen, bro. Like, you don't understand. It's not gonna happen.
We're in a total agreement on that fight.
I just don't see any chance. I mean, obviously there's always a chance anybody can beat anybody. But what I'm saying is, Tyrone Woodley is gonna come in there and he's gonna get the job done.
I agree.
That's what he does.
He's going to continue his dominance. He's the longest reigning champ in the UFC right now, and he's going to fucking put a stamp on that. And pretty soon, he's going to be challenging GSP for that greatest welterweight title at some point.
Yeah.
What did Ben say?
Ben goes, I hope I beat Robbie up pretty quick so I can get back there and watch Woodley beat up Marty.
Yeah, well, that brings us into like the third fight. You know, we've got the main event. Being Jones, of course, the co-main being the Woodley Usman fight, and then right before that, they've got what you were just talking about: Robbie Lawler, former UFC champion welterweight, against Ben Askren, undefeated. A lot of people think he's the greatest welterweight on the planet. He's just never been in the UFC, but he's dominated every other promotion he's been at. Dude's barely been punched in all of his fights.
It's gonna be very interesting, dude. I think this is a very tough fight.
Fuck yeah, Robbie Lawler's no joke, and he seems to be healed up.
I think Robbie was not the fight to take.
We're in agreement there. This is a very dangerous fight for Ben Askren. I'm really, like, Robbie Lawler is, they don't call him Ruthless Robbie for nothing.
Yeah, like, I think this is, we're really going to see where Ben's chin's at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lawler can throw hands.
Like, if Ben can get him down, I just don't know.
He's got some serious takedown defense, though. Lawler's takedown defense is no joke. He's solid. He's not some scrub. He's not like Conor McGregor coming in there with no takedown defense. You can give me that crazy look, but it's solid. What? How is it not solid? I'm not saying he's not going to stuff Ben Askren all night long. It's Ben fucking Askren.
Pretending like that but, shit's a factor. It's really not.
No, he's going to get taken down.
It's going to be a question: is can Ben get past his punches?
Yeah, his
takedown defense, sure, it's solid, but it's not going to be a factor.
It's not going to stop him.
Fucking Ben.
No, you're right.
It's gonna be Ben being able to get past the punches, because it's not. Robbie's gonna probably try to defend with offense. You know what I'm saying? He's gonna use his striking to defend the takedowns. You know what I'm saying? That's what Robbie's always used. It's not that Robbie's takedown defense is terrific.
That's what it is, yeah.
His striking to defend his takedowns, and he puts you in a point where you're going for your takedowns, he's gonna stuff it and then fucking pound your face. You know what I'm saying? Like, or he's gonna catch you on the way in with like a short uppercut or something like that.
Yeah.
Because Robbie is like, you know,
like Francis Ngannou did to Kane. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sleepy with that fucking uppercut. You know.
I don't know, man. This is a tough fight.
This is a tough fight.
I'll take Ben by decision.
I'm going with Ben as well. I think Ben is legit as fuck.
Yeah, I think Ben rides him like a horse.
Yeah, and I think Ben's the man.
Maybe chokes him out.
We got a lot of other good fights on there. I mean, Tecia Torres is fighting Zhang on that card. That's a good fight at one.
I don't know about her, but I like Tecia Torres.
I like Torres. I don't know a lot about her opponent either. And then before that, rounding out that main card, we've got Cody Garbrandt coming back against the ever so polite Pedro Munhoz.
This is a battle of two savages, though. That's one thing. Pedro Munhoz is real nice, but
when that cage door closes, you're fucking fucked, bro.
Get ready.
Yeah.
And this is real chance for Garbrandt to get himself back on the map too.
Yeah, because a win here is legit.
Two straight losses to Dillashaw. Taking a third loss would just hurt. It would hurt you bad.
Yeah, that's going to be very painful to the brand. Being
an undefeated fighter and then taking three losses in a row, this would suck, man. He's putting a lot on the line taking this big of a fight after two losses.
Dude, if he loses here, he's going to have to rebuild almost from the ground up.
Yeah,
100%. Like, no one is going to take him seriously in title contention for a long minute.
Wow.
Yeah. He ain't going to be win one more fight and you're back in
kinda
it. Nah.
Like what's happening to Jimmy Rivera right now.
Yeah, Jimmy Rivera is on a bit of a downward spiral as well after that loss to Aljo. Being so dominant like that, but that's a solid fight, man. A win here for either guy is a statement. Like, Garbrandt desperately needs the win, and Munhoz comes in.
Munhoz could lose this fight and still be okay. Garbrandt cannot lose this fight.
Yeah, there's more at stake for Cody, absolutely.
That's the thing. Garbrandt cannot lose this fight.
Mm-mm.
Because where is he going to go? He's too small for 45, and the 25 is gone. 35 is where he's at. It's going to be a tough road for him.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fights rebuilding from that.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. It's not that it's going to affect him. Like, he's not that far behind the ball because he lost a champion twice and possibly the number one contender if he wins this fight. But at the same time, Cody Garbrandt is not doing himself any favors, losing three fights in a row in a 135 division that probably has five or six guys who are in line to fight for the title right now.
100%. Well, who do you like in that fight? You feel like making a pick on it?
I'm going to take Munhoz.
Take Munhoz?
Yeah,
that's my pick, too. My pick, too. I think that kid's legit.
It sucks for Garbrandt, but I think it's going to happen.
But
then again, Garbrandt can also come in and put together a great performance. So that one's a coin flip.
It's a live fight. It's a coin flip. If I had to pick somebody, yeah, I'm picking Pedro Munhoz on that fight, too. We got Jeremy Stevens coming back, dude, against a killer. Zabit Magomedov Sharipov. I tried to say it as best as I could. That's a mouthful. Magomedov Sharipov. But Zabit's no joke.
I'd like to see how Zabit wears those punches early.
Mm-hmm. Jeremy Stevens is having a very nice career resurgence here of late. And he could continue it with a win right here.
That fucking liver shotted by Jose Aldo. What you talking about?
Yeah, but that doesn't.
he won like five in a row before.
Yeah, he's had quite. I mean, you take out his liver shots to Aldo, and then he's put together a nice resume. Lost to Aldo or no? I mean, so that's a good fight, man.
I think this is a tough fight.
We'll see how legit he is at this point. I mean, he's shown he can hang with some lower level competition.
I like this fight better than the Yair Rodriguez fight for both guys, because I think both of them were so one style like forward that it wasn't going to be a great fight. Whereas like this fight here, Zabit is pretty fucking solid on his feet as well, and he can throw, but can he like take the shots of a guy like Jeremy Stevens.
Yeah.
Jeremy Stevens has got fucking fire in those hands, bro. He's got some bricks.
There's no denying that shit.
And that's going to really decide what levels he beats on in this point in his career. Because eventually he's going to be on another level. Like, the way things are going for him, eventually he's going to be a hell of a fight for anybody. But where is he right now is the question.
Well, we're about to find out next weekend on that. I think there's two more fights. I mean, all the whole card is good. Who am I taking? I'm taking Jeremy Stephens. I like Stephens in that fight.
What?
Knockout.
What round?
Second.
I'm going to take Zabit by submission.
Zabit by submission? What round?
Fifth round.
Fifth round. So the second fight, second round. Okay, I gotcha.
No, I'll take him in the third. I think it's going to be a drag-it-out dogfight, and I think that late in the fight, Jeremy Stephens is going to give him everything he's got, and Zabit's just going to sub him.
Well, two more fights on this card I think we should talk about here with our look at it. And we've been talking this entire episode a lot about the light heavyweight division and about a lot of these young up-and-coming fighters that might challenge John Jones. Well, we have two of them facing off.
One of them already fought him.
Misha Cirkunov versus Johnny Scotch Walker.
Oh, what?
Yep. When fighting each other. That's on the prelims on ESPN. Now, you know, just so you know, folks, Scotch is not really his...
he's a fill-in. That was supposed to be OSP.
Well, he has been filled in.
I didn't know.
I'm looking at the fight card right here. It wasn't available on the UFC's app for whatever reason. A week out, the fight card's not available on their app.
Maybe that's why. Maybe he just filled in.
But I am looking on Wikipedia here, so it could be. I mean, it's Wikipedia. It doesn't mean it's legit.
Damn, that's legit ass fight for him. That's a great.
But that's
fight
a fight right there. Yeah.
It's a good one.
Absolutely. If that's legit, then that's what's happening. See it there. That's a fight that has a lot of implications for this division that we've been talking about a whole episode. You want to verify that?
Yeah, I'm going to try to. Well, I was on the UFC website a second ago.
So. Yeah, I was too. I couldn't get it up, so that's why I bounced over here. Google didn't have the fight card up either. You know, lately, if you search a UFC card on Google, it brings up the fight card, which is kind of cool. But they didn't have that shit either. Damn. We'll see if we can get verification on that.
Yeah, see, that's a fill-in. OSP is still on there versus me. Yeah, so that's probably a fill-in.
Mm.
Dang. Well, here's how to tell if that's a fill-in right now. Let's find out right now.
Well, that's why I like that fight even better.
Yep, Johnny Walker. Replaces OSP versus Mir, whatever the fuck his name is. UFC 235. Damn, we're hella behind, dude. That shit happened 2 weeks ago.
There's so much MMA these days that we got to keep up with, I swear to God. Well,
that's a great fight for him.
That's a hell of a fight right there.
That's a great opportunity,
so.
Because then that keeps him fresh in everybody's mind, because he rattled off those two big wins to start his UFC career, and now he's going to go in and be on the biggest fight card when he's already talked shit about John Jones and possibly finish a guy, jump on that mic and be like, hey, John Jones, I may not be there yet, but I'm coming, motherfucker.
Cirkunov is no joke, though.
100%.
And that dude,
this this could go either way.
He's going through some shit in his personal life right now that this is the kind of shit that might give the man the fire. You know what I mean? Like his wife's battling cancer.
Oh, dude.
So that's the kind of thing that can be distracting, or it's the kind of thing that you can be like,
yeah,
I'm not getting beat by anybody. My fucking wife has cancer. She's going to beat it, and I'm going to kill Johnny Walker at the same time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And sometimes we talk about that little bit of mental edge, because he's a good fighter. He might.
He could go into that and beat the shit out of OSP. But I don't know if he can go with that mindset and still have enough talent to beat Johnny Walker. I think Johnny Walker's on the path to glory.
That kid looks like something.
He's tough. He's a tough mofo.
Well, best wishes to Cirkunov's wife. I'm 100%. Battling that cancer. Hope to see a recovery there.
Yeah,
and this will be a telling fight, though, because these are two live fighters in this division.
100%.
You know, a couple young guys. So that's pretty important. I don't even know who to pick.
That fight has pretty solid implications in that division as well, because you got Johnny Walker who just jumped into the rankings, and then you got
Cirkunov
at, 13, I believe, somewhere in that range. So,
and been looking good. I mean, he looked great in his last fight.
To fight those big names.
Right. Who do you going to make a pick in that? For me, I don't know. I don't know.
I'm taking Walker KO round two. Sorry.
I don't know who to pick. I would probably have to realistically say Johnny Walker. It looks like the a pretty special talent. I'd have to probably agree that he could pull off the win, although in this circumstance, I'd like to see Serkinov win. So the other fight that I think that we should talk about, of course, is the opener on that ESPN card, which is, to me, a little bit of an unusual fight, but I like it a lot. It's Diego Sanchez, he of the original Ultimate Fighter, Diego fucking Sanchez, is fighting Mickey Gall.
Who did he smash in his last fight? Who was that?
Diego Sanchez?
Yeah, remember we were watching it, and he was just like going ham the whole time.
Yeah, I picked him to lose that fight as well. I'm trying to remember. It was...
Let's pull up his record.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I have to pause because this Wikipedia article is like 600 fucking things long. There it is. Craig White. That's right. Yeah, dude, a little young upstart. Yeah.
Him, dude. He was just like, wouldn't stop coming.
Then he lost to Matt Brown prior to that. And he lost to Alaya Quinta.
Remember that elbow that Matt Brown had with?
Mm-hmm.
That fucking killed him.
And Alaya Quinta knocked him the fuck out, too. Shit. We were talking about Al earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now you go into a fight against Mickey Gall, who's how much bigger than him?
Yeah, this is up at 170.
Yeah.
Because Mickey Gall ain't making lightweight. Well, he's going to chop off a leg to make lightweight.
Matt Brown was fucking huge, too.
Yeah. Well, fucking... Yeah, Mickey Gall is going to fuck Diego Sanchez up.
I think so, too.
I like Diego. I don't like that fight.
Although, we still have yet to see Mickey's chin, though. So, let's see. What if Diego just goes in there and tries to put the bombs on him? Drops a bomb squad on him. Puts him away.
Well, he'll try that.
Would you be surprised?
A little bit, yeah. I would, frankly. I would be really surprised.
I would.
How long could that guy keep doing fucking things like that? He's going to come out crazy as fuck.
But then again,
Diego's crazy as fuck.
When he gets it, dude, he's like, come on. Oh, fuck.
Dude, he's an OG, man. I can't believe we're still talking about. It's UFC 230 fucking 5.
Remember when he fought Clay Guida, dude?
Yes.
That was the most savage fight of all time. Or Gilbert Melendez.
Gilbert, that was a sick fight. Oh, that was a sad. That one right there was a fight.
That's sad. That's probably one of the best fights of all
time. That was a fight.
Savageness.
How is this guy? You know, Tough is on like season 29 is approaching. This guy was on the season 1.
That's crazy.
So crazy.
Crazy.
And he's fought all over. That was at 185, if I remember correctly. Season 1 on The Ultimate Fighter. He fought at a way higher weight class.
No, I think he fought 55.
No. Season 1, Diego used to fight
because,
way bigger.
What's his name won it? Joe Stevenson, didn't he?
Not in the first season. No, it was...
There was two weight classes. It was one.
Yeah, it was two.
It was 170 and 155.
It was Forrest and, Forrest and Bonner. And then...
Oh, so it was 205?
Yeah, it was 205 and 185, I think.
Probably 170, actually.
Let me pull up Diego's record again. It'll show us. I'm almost positive he's fought at 185 on that show.
I think it was 170. Because remember there was one, there actually was like, 55 for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, he was so far back here. It's not going to give us the weight class for real.
Well, look at the names and just think. Fucking what weight class they fought.
Jake Short, no one knows these names. Travis Beecher, Jorge Santiago, Kenny Florian. Kenny Florian fought huge too. Kenny Florian's dropped mad weight. On Diego on the finale, that's who we fought on the Ultimate Fighter finale.
Yeah,
they were both at 185.
I think 170.
Kenny Florian's the only fighter to fight in four weight classes. He fought at featherweight, he fought at lightweight, he fought
he's
at welterweight, and he fought at 185, dude.
He still
was
young.
So it was at 185 because that's Florian's four weight classes, dude. That's the only four weight classes Florian's fought, and he fought Jose Aldo at featherweight, which he killed himself to make. Then he fought at lightweight, he fought at welterweight, and he fought at 185. He sure didn't fight at bantamweight, and he sure didn't fight at light heavyweight. That's all there is. So yeah, that's when he fought. That was when they both were big. But the UFC was a lot bigger back then too. They didn't even have a lightweight division.
Yeah.
In the early days, I mean, lightweight was fucking. Like the quote-unquote small guys back then. That's funny.
I don't know.
Who do you like? You think Mickey Gall is going to fuck him up? Mickey Gall, me too.
Probably going to choke him out.
I hope Diego retires after that, honestly. I hope he doesn't get beat too bad. He doesn't need any more blows to his head.
Yeah, that'd be savage.
Absolutely.
All right, man.
I think that wraps up our look at UFC 235, which wraps up our show for the day.
Sounds good.
Thank God, Experience Premium Cannabis again for that delicious tincture, sponsoring the Weed of the Week this week. We're going to keep on smoking this delicious grape pie that we've got. You can listen to us on WBUZ 95 on Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. here in Vegas, 9 p.m. on the East Coast. You can find that on radio.net or the Orange Radio app in the Play Store. You can also find us on all the usual podcast outlets like iTunes and Google Play.
Hit the subscribe button on YouTube, like button on YouTube.
Absolutely. Videos up there. Head What's over up, to YouTube?
MMA.com.
SWATMMA.com.
Grab a shirt, grab a jacket, you know, support the podcast, guys.
Thanks, everybody, because we appreciate it.
Yep.
Peace.
Later.